1580 AM Columbus, W224 EG Madison, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. Breaking news, since the Baltimore Highway Bridge collapsed into the harbor below, it's been 11 weeks. That shipping channel has today been fully reopened to commercial traffic, says the Army Corps of Engineers. Also breaking, Donald Trump's mandatory pre-sentencing interview with probation officers took place this afternoon, virtually on computers, says a person familiar to the Associated Press. A U.S.-drafted resolution supporting the Gaza ceasefire hostage release deal on the table passed, with 14 members of the UN Security Council voting in favor, Russia abstaining. U.S. Ambassador Linda Thomas-Greenfield.
We know this is the best way, actually the only way, to bring about a durable end to this war.
Jurors in Hunter Biden's gun trial deliberated for an hour, then went home for the night in Wilmington, Delaware. On Wall Street, new record highs for the S&P and the NASDAQ. This is ABC News.
This news report is sponsored by Wisconsin Capital Management, LLC, serving their clients for 40 years. Visit wiscap.com.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. It's now officially a race for Wisconsin Supreme Court. Dane County Judge Susan Crawford announced she's running today. Former Attorney General Brad Schimmel is already running. Just like the last state Supreme Court race, the ideological balance of the high court is on the line. The election is April 1st. Madison police now say 12 young people were injured in a shooting at a Madison party early Sunday. No one was killed, and police say at least two people started shooting at a crowd of more than 25 young people on a high-rise apartment building rooftop. Madison Police Chief Sean Barnes.
We are working tirelessly to identify and apprehend those responsible for these senseless acts, and we will not rest until justice is served.
Police are asking for tips. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
This is news from WMDX Madison. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. We have more updates on Sunday's mass shooting at a rooftop party. Two more people have come forward with injuries, so that means 12 people were hurt, 10 of them shot. Madison Police Chief Sean Barnes says a couple dozen people were partying on the roof of the Lux on Johnson Street, and they were not supposed to be there. Police are calling it a sneak bash. There are still a lot of unknowns. Authorities are investigating who the shooter is and why they did this.
A motive for this shooting is still currently unknown. At this time, we will not be publicly identifying the suspect or a person of interest, as we do not want to jeopardize any leads in this case.
Barnes says police are meeting with the building's management to discuss added security measures like cameras and restricted key fob access. If you have any information, you can call Crime Stoppers or use the P3 Tips app, all anonymously. And that's what you need to know. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. This is WMDX News.
Baseball tonight in Milwaukee. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers host the Toronto Blue Jays. Milwaukee with a 6.5 game lead in their division, despite losing 10-2 yesterday in Detroit. The Blue Jays a game under 500 so far this season. A recap of the game later tonight. More problems for the Brewers pitchers. Robert Gasser seeking a third opinion for his elbow. Saturday, the Brewers beat the Tigers, but trainers had to check on Freddy Peralta as he struggled with his fastball.
For me, it was a bad day in general. You know, but everything's good. It's more important for me. The team won the game, but physically I'm good. I'm fine.
Racing, record crowds at Road America as Will Power won the IndyCar Grand Prix. In golf, Ernie Els won the AmFam Championship in Madison.
I want to thank everybody for coming out this week. These greens are unbelievable. You know, it is definitely the best greens we play on tour.
Els told reporters next year the AmFam will be a team event, but tournament officials say no decision has been made. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear tonight, a low in the upper 40s. Mostly cloudy with a chance of showers and thunderstorms for tomorrow and a high in the mid-70s. Mid-80s Wednesday, more storms possible, especially in the afternoon and evening when some of the storms could be strong. It's 71 right now.
Wisconsin Capital Management in Madison is a registered investment advisory firm and has been serving their clients for the past 40 years. The firm is focused on providing investment advisory services to its affiliated mutual funds. Their approach to investment management is designed to provide competitive performance over the entire business cycle. Their clients rely on them to manage their assets through the fluctuations of market cycles, and they strive to outperform over the long term. For information, visit wiscap.com.
The John and Gordy Show.
Why not start drinking first thing in the morning?
That's what I'm thinking. What a great breakfast.
6 a.m.
Thinking about getting back on this stuff here, Gordy.
Why not? I'm celebrating losing 25 pounds in the last 6 months. And now,
gonna go on a bender, right? That's it.
Why not celebrate a little bit? Get snot-sling and drunk first thing in the morning.
Weekday mornings, 6 until 8 on Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX and on the Civic Media app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, be with us next time. It is Tuesday Tangents with Luke Mathers, and J. Matt Nair and I kick off our statewide tour. Don't miss it.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Mad Radio, WMDX, Madison's home for the John
this
and Gordy Show.
This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, educated educators talking education.
There it is, Monday. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education. Weekend is over. Johnny Lupinacci's in the house. Dr. Tim Slecker, that's me. I'm in the house. We've got a guest. We're not going to get to our guest yet. You know, we've got some things to talk about. Johnny, the weekend, though, man. How was your weekend?
It's great, man. It's, you know, coming up on the kids are almost out of school for the summer. You know, I'm winding things down. We talked about it last week a little bit. Got to graduate all those MIT students who are now officially teachers.
Nice.
And headed out as a reinforcement. So we know there is a kind of constructed teacher shortage. There's a reason why our teachers are getting so burnt out and also demoralized in too many ways. But there's always hope, and there's great hope in the incoming crop of future teachers who are, you know, already kind of part of a generation that says, hey, we can do better. Let's do it. And so I get really energized and excited about folks coming into teaching and not ready to just go in and be the replacements, you know, the cannon fodder.
Exactly.
But actually, you know, equipped to kind of navigate what is and move us towards what we know can and ought to be. And that's like, I mean, that's going to be a theme tonight because
you hit it. Nice. I mean, the theme of what can be, talking about that though too. And talking about a whole week too, again, tomorrow night, Rethinking Schools coming on. And then Wednesday, Johnny, special Wednesday episode. If people remember April 30th, the Minocqua Brewing Tap Room. Well, why? Well, first of all, Busted Pencils is sponsored by the Minocqua Brewing Company, who sued the state of Wisconsin to end that nasty voucher system that hurts public schools. Minocqua Brewing Company is making Wisconsin great again, one beer at a time. Check out MinocquaBrewingCompany.com to see where you can buy the progressive beer. And if you happen to be in the Madison area, check out Wednesday night live, 6 o'clock. Get over there to the tap room with Kirk, the owner, because it will be Busted Pencil simulcast live right out of there. Yeah, Johnny and Tim, we're not going to be there this time like we were April 30th, but we're going to be there on the computer hosting the show, talking to everybody out at the Minocqua Brewing Company. The big thing, too, everybody wants, Kirk wants you out there. Get to the Minocqua Tap Room for Wednesday, 6 o'clock, live event. Hey, it's Get Out the Vote. Teachers, too. Go into Busted Pencils. Check it out Wednesday night, Minocqua Brewing Tap Room. Johnny, and then the rest of the week, too, maybe even another special announcement this week for some other things that are happening. You said, though, teaching, getting back to teaching. And our guest tonight, boy, talk about teaching. Truly, the book, right?
On so many levels, Tim.
So many levels. I mean, she is a retired educator from Cambridge and Boston Public Schools. She has extensive experience as a middle school humanities teacher, district staff developer, school-based administrator. She's the author of Why Fly That Way, Linking Community and Achievement. She's an active member of the Massachusetts Teachers Association. And she is deeply committed to maintaining our democracy and its foundation that is public education. And her new book, Testing Education, A Teacher's Memoir, is out. Welcome to Busted Pencils, Kathy Greeley. How are you, Kathy?
I am so thrilled to be here with you guys. It's just fantastic. Thank you for having me.
Love it. So how was that? The Educated Educators Talking Education. Is that the way what you wanted to hear there? The kind of, as you said before the show, let's rock and roll.
I love it. I've been playing your intro to all my friends and telling them about your podcast and but I just love the Educated Educators Talking Education, because it's honestly, it's kind of radical these days, right? It's kind of sad to say that, but it is pretty radical. And
well, you know what, though?
I like being radical. So
yeah, I would just say radical education. I mean, education, the truly digging into it and thinking deeply is a radical act. And in fact, the attack that we're talking about, too, that we will be talking about in your book, though, is that, you know, that is the attack. The attack is on thinking, on democracy. And we recognize that. But, Kathy, I mean, 40 plus years teaching, though, before we really get into the book, what is it? I want to say, was it? What is it about teaching that excites you, and makes you imagine about better things in the future?
You didn't send me that question.
I know.
I was like, wow, man, there it goes.
So I think I actually talk about this a little bit in the book, that I was born like into the 60s and 70s, and I really wanted to save the world. And, you know, I tried a few other venues and they just weren't for me. And I think that I fell into this. I always loved being a learner, even though I did not always love school. And I know you guys have talked about the difference of that on your show, the difference between school and learning and education. And I think I really did see myself as a student, like sitting there sometimes thinking I could do a better job than this. and then I discovered that it actually isn't all that easy to be a good teacher. Like I think there are things that people can naturally bring to teaching, but I also think there's a lot that you have to learn. There's a whole art and craft around teaching. But what excited me was seeing young people do things that turn their brains on. I guess that's the easiest way to say it, is even in my very first year of teaching, where I really didn't know much of anything, I was feeling my way day to day, when I saw kids light up and be interested about something and want to know more about why is it that way, or why did that happen, or what do we do about that? Like, that is an amazing feeling to me. And then I think as a teacher, I had the privilege and responsibility to help kids get to a place where they did things they didn't think they could do, and they did them beautifully. And those were some of the best moments of my life, honestly, was seeing those moments of kids going, oh my goodness, I never thought I could do that, and yet I did it.
Our guest is the new, not the new author, but her new book, Testing Testing Education, A Teacher's Memoir, Kathy Greeley, recounting 40 plus years in the classroom and the joy that comes with it. If you want to jump in, it's 855-752-4842 is the number. 855-752-4842. Well, Sherry always out there telling us, you know, hi. Good evening, guys. Always gotta love when Sherry throws us a little text message out there too. So, and you can always do it that way too. You don't have to call. You can send us a text message. We'll gladly read that on on air. But, you know, Kathy, one of the things you were talking about is the joy of teaching, you know, really profoundly there. And I think what happens in your book is that it kind of, it's a history of taking away joy.
Yes.
And I was wondering, though, before we get into the killing of joy, what, and you started to do this, you know, getting students and kids to that point where they get to think, you know, you recount lots of great moments in the book, but if you could pick one of those great moments where you just felt that joy as a teacher, you saw students having that joy, you can give us a little, just a remember that, you know, let us know, like, let the listener get a sense of remembering a time during that time where you said, you know what, joy was all around, from the teacher, from the student, from the school standpoint.
Yeah, I think kind of sadly, there were lots of moments of joy that I don't see happening so much anymore. But for me, one of the most joyful moments of my year as a teacher was when my class would write a play. And we started putting on these plays because I believed, I was a humanities teacher. I taught English and social studies together in seventh and eighth grade. And I wanted my students to feel what it had been like to be, marching in Lawrence in 1912, or what it felt like to be a soldier in the Civil War on either side, what it felt like. Like, I really believe history is people's stories, and that we really needed to embody those stories as much as possible. So that's how we started doing plays. But we ran out of good, we took two plays that had been written by other people, and then we ran out of plays for 40 students. So we started writing our own and produce them ourselves. And I guess I could talk for a solid hour about the plays, but I will just tell you this one story that was really moving. It was maybe one of my best moments, where it was the very first play we did. I had my students were the directors of the play, and they cast the kids in their different parts. And they cast this one student in the part of we were doing a play about the Bread and Roses strike of 1912 in Lawrence, Massachusetts, which is right near us. And they cast this lovely young eighth grader in the role of a union organizer. And he had a huge, like, page and a half monologue to give. But he had a serious speech impediment problem. Mm. And I asked the kids, why did you want him to be playing the role of the labor organizer? And they said, because he looks the part and we think he can do it. And
Kathy, let's hold right there, because okay, we'll come back to that, because we're right up on the break. Union organizer Kathy Greeley, testing education, a teacher's memoir. We're talking about that book. Give us a call. Yeah, when we get back, we'll talk about that union organizer and the play Busted Pencils, back after a second.
Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
Tons of glass artists share the same passion for eye-catching art as Ignite Glass and Gifts, so we're showcasing their work alongside our talented local artists and our in-house Ignite artists. The latest techniques, the hottest colors, and mind-blowing designs are here for you to enjoy. Madison's favorite for glass, gifts, and vape, Ignite Glass and Gifts, Monona Drive, Williamson Street, and O'Dana Road, plus igniteglassandgifts.com. Do your eyes a favor and see this stuff.
Get everything for your next project today at Menards and save big money. Take on tough outdoor cleaning projects with a Husqvarna pressure washer. powered by a reliable Briggs & Stratton engine. They have the power for making short work of any job. Save big on Menards' selection of Husqvarna pressure washers. Visit Menards.com and check out our entire selection of pressure washers, plus the weekly flyer and many more great deals happening now. Save big money
at Menards. Mad Radio WMDX, Madison's home for the John and Gordy Show.
So what everybody says, Kathy. Kathy loves the music. Of course you do. It's Busted Pencils, Fully Leaded Education Talk. Educated educators talking education. Yeah, you know, the best music on the radio, bumper music for a talk show. Of course it is. Turn in with Johnny and I. We said we're going to have to release a playlist soon, the Busted Pencils playlist, so people can go out and download that. Love it. Our guest, though, I say, is 40 plus years as a teacher, Kathy Greeley. Her book, Testing Education, A Teacher's Memoir, we're talking about it. Kathy, you were talking about that joy moment. You were talking about the time, you know, back when, you know, you were teaching in middle school, social studies, language arts, getting together to put together a play. The students are directing themselves, taking ownership of their own learning, putting together the play. And they picked a student who, you were saying, it's a potentially surprising that they picked him to be the lead role, and the student had a speech difficulty issue, and you were asking the students why, and they were kind of like, well, we want him. So tell us more about what happened there.
So they just believed in him. I was worried. I believed in my students, and this is something that I think is very different now for teachers. Like, you have to make sure, like, we don't let students make choices anymore. But I didn't want to overrule my students unless I felt like I was going to put this young man at risk of a failure or embarrassment or something. So I talked to our speech therapist in the school, and she said, this is awesome that they picked him. And I'm going to make sure, yeah, I'm going to do, I don't know if he can do it, but I'm going to support him as much as possible. And the kids also said, we don't know if he can do it, but we're going to support him as much as possible. And on the night of the performance, he gets up on his soapbox to deliver this speech. And everybody in the audience knew this kid. And he starts out and he says, and he starts to stutter. And I'm holding my breath and I'm sitting next to the speech therapist, and she just says, start over again. Mm. And he starts over. And he delivers this whole speech, like it's literally a page and a half of, you know, rising to support the union. And people were crying, and the audience erupted in cheers like they were ready to join the IWW. And then after the play was over, I mean, that was just such a thrilling moment. And after the play was over, I always ask my students to reflect on what they learned and how they felt about what they did, what they would do differently, all of that kind of thing. And this student wrote, I said, how did you feel about your part in the play? And he wrote, I felt like a knight in shining armor and that I can do anything. And I still hold on to that. I mean, I don't know where he is now. I hope he hears this. I just saw a kind of transformation happen in him. And I just want our students to have that kind of opportunity to do things that nobody expected that they could do. It's especially themselves. And that was a real moment of joy.
That's truly a moment of joy. I think about that too. And what you're talking about, Kathy, too, is that professional autonomy that you as a teacher had in that ability for you and your class to put together this idea of, you know what, we're going to take this learning moment. We're going to turn it into, you know, at that point, a play. I remember doing these types of things too, actually, as a learner, and thinking they were great. You know, if you remember that, 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842, remembering that time when you were a student, when joy came across, and what was it that was happening? Kathy's talking about this 40-plus years, and then realizing that in that moment of empowerment, letting the students take charge. You know, yeah. we talked with Alfie Cohn all the time, and he's like, you know, let's let children make these decisions, and you'd be surprised at what they can do. And what you did there too is that moment. However, in the book, Kathy, that's not where you went. What happened? What happened over 40 years, Kathy?
Oh gosh, you know, Tim, what happened? You know, it's hard to say where it started, but I think officially maybe it started with No Child Left Behind in 2001 with all of those policies. I personally think it started long before that. I think I go back to 1983 with The Nation at Risk, and I go back before that to the Board of Education, Brown versus Board of Ed, when a lot of white people were uncomfortable with the government telling them that their children had to go to school with black children. And we can go even further back than that. So, but really the hammer came down, I think, starting in 2001 with No Child Left Behind, and this idea of federal testing and standardization and standardized testing, and that we're going to make sure that if everybody has to be proficient by the year 2014, and if they're not proficient, we're going to chop your head off. And actually, they did, like in Massachusetts still, if kids don't pass our state tests, they do not get a high school diploma, which are the Mass Teachers Association, of which I'm a part. We're trying to fight that right now. But there have been thousands of kids who have been denied a high school diploma simply because they couldn't pass the state standardized test, which is not easy. I would encourage any of you to try to take it. There are three of them: math, science, and English language arts. So that's what happened. And I would say it was a real corporatized model of what schools should be. Schools are not corporations. They're not factories, but we have turned them into that. So,
yeah. Well, and so this too, the book's title, Testing Education, a Teacher's Memoir. I got to think that was kind of thrown in there very specifically, because what you're talking about, Kathy, yeah, No Child Left Behind. And Johnny Lupinacci, we do this too. We talk about it. We date it back, you know, yeah, I think 1983 particularly. You can go back further there, Nation at Risk. We've actually, James Harvey, one of the architects, we've had him on the show. He talked about that too, is really being that moment when, you know, we empowered the federal government to kind of say teachers and public schools are the problem. And in 2000 with Bush, yeah, No Child Left Behind and Testing. Our guest, Kathy Greeley, Testing Education, a Teacher's Memoir. Yeah, we're going to have more. Give us a call when we get back.
You're listening to Mad Radio, WMDX, Madison's home for Matt Nair on air.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News.
I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Governor Evers says he'll ask for the biggest budget increase ever for the Universities of Wisconsin system in his next budget, $800 million. Seven campuses are facing budget shortfalls, and UW-Oshkosh has depleted its reserves. Democrats are urged to remember how much power Wisconsin voters have this election year. Democratic National Committee Chair Jamie Harrison addressed the state party convention in Milwaukee Saturday.
Wisconsin is crucial in terms of where American democracy goes. The eyes of not only this country, but the eyes of the world will be on what you do right here in Wisconsin.
It's not just the race for president. Wisconsin voters could also determine the balance of power in the U.S. House and Senate. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
This is news from WMDX Madison. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Two people were hurt in a shooting on Madison's east side. It happened last night before 11 near Trafalgar Place and Andrew Way. People called 911 after hearing as many as 20 gunshots. Police found two people who had been shot. One has been released from the hospital while the other is in critical condition. MPD says this case is a priority, but it is a busy day for them as they're also investigating that mass shooting at a party Sunday morning. And the final rounds of the American Family Insurance Championship were tough to watch if you were rooting for hometown guy and host Steve Stricker. He was in the lead, but his longtime friend Ernie Els caught up to him. In a playoff round, Stricker just missed an easy putt. It was shocking. The audience gasped, and Els was declared the winner. This was the last year for the AmFam Championship at University Ridge. Next year, it's at TPC Wisconsin. And that's what you need to know. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. This is WMDX News.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. Pat Sajak's days of letting contestants know they blew it in his not-so-subtle way may be over, but he took one more opportunity last week to mock a contestant. The correct answer was facts and figures, and a contestant named Allison guessed boats and hangers. Pat remarked, "So not close." He told her the correct answer, opened the envelope, and let her know she lost out on $40,000. Don't worry, Allison, that game is a lot easier when you have the answer in your hand or the comfort of your own living room. In more snarky Sajak news, Pat is not retiring. According to Deadline, Sajak is in Honolulu, Hawaii, executive producing and starring in a murder mystery play based on the pilot episode of TV's Columbo called Prescription Murder. The show is actually a fundraiser for other theaters in Hawaii, and Sajak's run will go through August of 2025. Sajak has been hosting Wheel of Fortune since 1981. Who knew that all those years he really just wanted to do dinner theater? For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear tonight, a low in the upper 40s. Mostly cloudy with a chance of showers and thunderstorms for tomorrow and a high in the mid-70s. Mid-80s Wednesday, more storms possible, especially in the afternoon and evening when some of the storms could be strong. Right now it's 73.
You know Ignite Glass and Gifts' three locations in Madison, but you can also shop igniteglassandgifts.com. You'll find grinders, lighters, collectibles, hand-blown glass water pipes, artistically designed jewelry, and plenty of other items delivered straight to your door or to family and friends. Madison's favorite for glass, gifts, and vape, Ignite Glass and Gifts, Monona Drive, Williamson Street, and Odana Road, plus igniteglassandgifts.com.
Morty here from the Mad Radio Morning Show. When you text us at Civic Media, our text line is sponsored by Rocket Industrial in Madison, chosen by 80% of Fortune 500 manufacturers in the United States that want to package with less. RocketIndustrial.com.
Looking for a roundup of the day's important headlines in quick podcast form? Search no more. Find it now on the WMDX website at mad.radio. Your news just for the Madison area. I'm Terry Bell with WMDX News.
John Peterson and Gordy Young.
On our next show, we'll have Pete Schwabba from Nightlight.
We'll be talking media and what's coming out in theaters.
Join us first thing in the morning.
The John and Gordy Show, weekday mornings 6 until 8.
Hey,
If you don't want to get up and dance, come on. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education. Yeah, our guest, Kathy Greeley. Her book, Testing Education, a Teacher's Memoir, 40 years, starting with that joyful moment. Yeah, self-directed students putting together a dramatic play and just how that goes. And then things went horribly wrong. I think we're all agreeing that while it may have been board and Brown versus the Board of Education, a nation at risk, the effect of stifling and in fact creating that the atmosphere, no child left behind. Johnny Lupinacci, you agree, disagree?
Well, I mean, that's a pretty tough polarization to put me into. In general, yes. I think policies have a massive impact, and they certainly over time especially really pushed schools to be even more, like we talked about the difference between schooling and education. And I would say the example that Kathy shared and writes about really well in the book is that there were more opportunities to really be present in the moment, to understand your class, to know their needs, to let them learn about each other so that they could co-learn. And that could be like, imagine, listener, you're in your garden and you get to kind of cultivate and work with the garden. And the gardener is like being a teacher. Like, we're working together with learners and we're kind of reading what they need and when they need that. And it ebbs and flows. And it's a living, organic system. You know, what we know is that those policies that not only Kathy and Tim were mentioning here, but, you know, that really limited that and really turned it into, nope, guess what? You don't get to necessarily have a garden that's local and important to your bioregion or what you want to grow. In fact, it's going to be these things, and it might not actually work where you are, and it might not be on the right cycle in the right time, but this is when and how and why you have to do it. And if you don't, guess what? Slap on the hand, and you don't get any money for it. And in fact, not only do you not get any money, we're going to start labeling you officially as failing or as non-proficient. And that whole thing just kept policy after policy, you know, really piling up, really piling up. And by piling up, I meant, like, imagine a roof with more and more snow on it. Eventually, it just caves in. And I know that for a lot of teachers, they feel like it caved in on them. And, you know, so I love that Kathy's here sharing a memoir, teaching over time, to be able to talk about the moments, the great moments, and also the limitations imposed on being able to do great teaching. So, Kathy, obviously, we're all critical of, like, No Child Left Behind and Race to the Top and these things. But, you know, give us some, our listener who might be like, I get it. It's these things made good teaching harder to do. But what are some of the significant ways you would highlight for our listener that those policies really shape the current state that we're in public education?
So I think of, I know it's kind of a cliche, but if you think about the tip of the iceberg, if the tip is that test that kids have to take, the standardized test that's going to show us whether our schools are successful or not, which is not true. The tests don't show us that at all. We already know a lot about what our schools are, where what's working and what's not working in our schools. But I think that what people don't know is all of that below that surface, how much that driving to get kids into achieving higher test scores has so dramatically and fundamentally changed what our schools are. I don't think people have a clue about that. Mm. And that was one reason why I wanted to write the book. And I initially really wanted to call the book Boiling Frogs, and the publisher wouldn't go along with that. but the idea, and thank goodness, it probably wasn't a great title, but the point was, we know what happens to frogs if you put them in boiling water, they jump out. But if you put them in a pot and warm that over time, they die. And I think that is what's happened in our public schools, that if we had changed our schools to what they are now, and ask parents to send their kids to the highly standardized, test-driven, data-driven, lack of play, lack of choice, lack of voice in our schools that we have now, 20, 25 years after No Child Left Behind, parents would have rebelled. They would have said, no way are we going to let this happen to our children. But it has happened really gradually over time, and there's just been slice after slice after slice, attack after attack after attack. So when I've talked to people, I'm like, you know what? If you're 37 years old, at least in the state of Massachusetts, if you're 37 years old, you only know the world with standardized tests. And because that's when we started imposing our standardized tests. And that is the world that you've grown up in. And I really think our job, especially for older teachers and retired teachers like myself, and anybody who has a vision of something else, it's really important for us to share that those experiences, though that history, those visions of, and actually, honestly, it's research-based understanding of how children learn best, which is not like, you know, making the drill and kill kind of things that we see going on. Or I love your metaphor of the garden. I'm going to use that because, you know, we have a garden and we aren't going to, all the plants are different and the plants need different things. And yet they all grow and blossom and come to fruit. And that's what schools are. It could be, but we're treating them like a desert. You know, there's only, or that's not a great analogy, but we're treating them like, you know, everybody is a pea pod. And
it's, I was going to say, it's like a single cash crop.
Yeah.
And only that one single cash crop matters.
Well, tobacco. Shocker, right? Shocker, right? It's called factory farming.
Yeah.
Factory farming. Exactly.
Versus like, really, if we talk about like local gardening in sync with our weather systems, our culture, the different things we like to eat and need and that feed one another in that process. So yeah, Kathy, I mean, I love what you're doing. You know, we only have so much time with us. So I really encourage folks to get out and read Kathy's book, connect with her work. Kathy, before we end up parting ways with you though, can you share, okay, so you've shared both great hope. You've talked about the context we're in, like we know better and we can do better. So let's do better. But if you could get a couple of wishes granted here, because you know what, we might be just educators talking education, but someday we might actually be genies in a bottle where we can grant wishes. What would Kathy Greeley's wishes be? What would be your like top things that you would like to see happen right now if we could just snap our fingers and make them happen?
Solve poverty and create a more equitable world, because I think all children actually could succeed if we had a more equitable society. That's a pretty big order, especially these days. Short of that, I think the people who talk about problems need to be solved by the people who are closest to the problems is really true in schools. And so I think teachers and parents and children need to be involved in the conversation about how do we create schools that work for everybody. So I would really like to see that. I think we need to really invest in education in a way that has never happened in this country. We have the weirdest kind of funding for our public education. And, you know, I believe that public education is the foundation of our democracy, I think our democracy is really at risk. And part of that is because we are not raising, we haven't invested in our schools. We've de-invested in our schools and our education and our higher institutions. And so I don't think we're raising a generation of critical thinkers and people who feel empowered by what they're learning and know how to learn on their own. So I would like to see more of that. That's a few wishes.
Well, I love it. And Kathy, what's really cool about those wishes is I think your third one, it was connected into, you know, the educational stuff. I think I share that. I think the third one can bring the first two. Like, I really think if we can make, we know better, if we do better, then those generations will, one, have a more equitable world. And I do think that stronger education is a key to eradicating poverty. I mean, we need some help outside. Can't just be all on the teachers in the schools, but really good public schools will deliver on a strong democratic community where it's equitable and where everyone has a voice valued, and the decisions are made by those directly impacted and close to the decision. So what a novel thing, Kathy. Love your work. Appreciate it. I mean, we could only scratch the surface tonight here with listeners. Real quick, though, not so quick, but exciting for folks before we part ways with Kathy and keep the show going. You know what time it is? A Civic Media Sconny Summer Text to Win giveaway in full swing. Download the Civic Media app and listen throughout the day for codes announced at the top of odd numbered hours. That's 7, 9, and 11 a.m. and 1, 3, 5, and 7 p.m. to text in for your chance to win. Stay tuned into your local Civic station to hear the next code from Pete Schwaba at the top of the 7 p.m. hour. Prizes include Wisconsin Dells packs, each giveaway hour, and a pair of Milwaukee Brewers Club level tickets each day. Entering just once will put you in the running for the grand prize of a weekend staycation or a getaway in the idyllic Wisconsin locale. When you text in, you will receive a bounce back text with a link to check your voter registration and sign up for the Civic Media news and podcasts. When you do that, you'll earn bonus entries towards all the available prizes. Whew, a lot of stuff there.
Hey, man, but you know, the Dells, check it out. I mean, in fact, when I was on Maggie Dawn's show earlier today, too, there was one of the winners. There was a winner who was like, I really, really won. It was so excited about the Sconny summer, you know. But, oh, man, Kathy, so much going on. The book, 40 Years of Memoir Testing Education, a Teacher's Memoir. Thank you so much for writing it. Kathy, I mean, go to Amazon. Where should they go to get the book? Anywhere specific?
Well, if you have to go to the evil empire of Amazon, you can. But really, it's available. If you go to I'd encourage people to go to their independent local bookstores and say, could you order this for me and get a couple extra copies to put out on the shelf? So, but it's pretty much available anywhere.
Kathy, thank you so much for busting pencils. you did it. It was there. Testing is the book. Testing Education and Teacher's Memoir. Our guest, Kathy Greeley. And Kathy, we got to say too, say hi to Dr. Nancy Carlson Page, Matt Damon's mom, because she is the one who said, you guys gotta interview my friend Kathy. She's got this book she wrote all about her years in there. So yeah, say hello to Dr. Nancy Carlson Page from Tim and Johnny. And we're going to have her back in July again. Kathy Greeley is our guest, was our guest. Our book, Testing Education, a Teacher's Memoir. Go to your local independent bookstore and get it that way. Yeah, we'd love to see it. And Kathy, thank you so much. And more Tim and Johnny breaking it down when we get back.
This is Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX. Do you have a loved one in a nursing home? California mega millionaire Eric Hovde has some bad news for you. He doesn't think they have long to live. It's true. In a recent interview, Hovde said, if you're in a nursing home, you only have a 5-6 month life expectancy. Almost nobody in a nursing home is at a point to vote. That's shocking. But it gets worse. One of Hovde's companies is named a co-defendant in a wrongful death suit from an incident at a California senior living facility. He even referred to himself as an expert in the nursing home business. Yikes, that doesn't sound like the kind of expert we need. Call Eric Hovde at his California office, 714-730-4444. Tell him that Wisconsin seniors deserve to vote and get the care they deserve. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Incorporated.
You're listening to Mad Radio WMDX, Madison's home for the Todd Lawball Show.
Oh, listen to that. It was a field. Weeds, no, flowers. That's what we're talking about. Gardens, beautiful gardens. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education. If you're watching the video feed, you saw me putting my glasses on to talk. Yes, for some reason, I need to be able to see to keep speaking. It's something, I don't know, disconnect, you know. 855-752-4842 is the number. Give us a call. Great show. Guest Kathy Greeley, teacher 40 years in the Boston area, Cambridge, Massachusetts, recounted testing education, a teacher's memoir, just 40 years talking about what was, what happened, and the wishes. Johnny, I love the way you put in there and went, Kathy, what are the wishes? You're a genie. She went for that first one, though, like eradicate poverty. It was like, I'm like, whoa. But yeah, you think about that one. But you know what, though, Johnny? So you came back with, though, and saying, like, empowering true public education could really get us in that direction.
I'm going to back up on him and say, it will. Okay. It's not even about could. It will. If people have... if they're supported, if they're given every, if their needs are met, to learn together. I mean, it was in one of the songs, dare I say, coexist together. Yeah, that really isn't that radical of an idea, but it's been made radical. Yeah. And yes, we can through strengthening, you know, education, not schooling, not getting higher test scores.
Right.
But spending meaningful time together, learning to be together, you know, to be, have a form of literacy where we're reading and we're writing and we're, you know, we're producing plays together. We're making music, all kinds of different things. It's not just one model of what it looks like, but yeah, a strong public education system is, you know, an insurance, and it is an investment in, you know, eradicating poverty. Again, there's some systemic stuff that has to happen, you know, but it would be there. It would be in place. It can be the equalizer, as it's often purported to be, but not structured to have that end goal.
Not right? Structured, but like you're saying, though, the vision of what's possible. And see, for me, when we talk about this, this is exactly why the attack on public schools. The attack on public schools has nothing to do with test scores, low test scores, inadequacy. The reality is that the attack is an attack on a realization that if truly an educated public through public schools really was the goal of what we were doing as a society, you would really eliminate a lot of the issues dealing with inequities. And you know what? Inequities, getting rid of inequities, man, guess what? Some people do not want to do that. Jess, I could see you looking at it, like going like, I'm sorry, but there are people that truly do not want to get rid of the inequities and see public schools truly as, yeah, one of the potential solutions. And so let's attack them, because actual structural inequities keep me in power if I'm one of those people who go against that. And you sit there and go, really, Tim, that's what's behind the attack on public schools? Yeah, Jess, what do you think?
Yeah, I got a loud face. Sorry about that. No, it's true. You know, if we actually have a fully educated public, if we have a public who is informed about all of these issues, who can actually take meaningful action, well, that reduces the power that a small number of people do have. You know, whether you're comfortable with the idea or not, there is a power imbalance in this country, in this world, and public education in many ways serves to lessen that divide.
Johnny.
Yeah. I mean, so we're all on the same page here. It resonates. However, you know, we're not there yet. And there's a lot of work to be done. And that doesn't mean when we say all this too, that we're saying, hey, teacher, listener out there, you better kick it into overdrive because this one's on you. You know, it's something that's part of our responsibilities. Every single one of us, it is a responsibility of all people to be civically engaged. And part of being civically engaged is understanding the importance of our education system. We can only be as strong as we are there for one another, and that we understand what we need and what others need, and that we can do that together. We talked a lot about a couple of weeks ago, and into last week, we were talking about effing with our feels, right? Well, I'll add on to that. Part of the big myth is you don't have to F people over to survive. And so that's a big shift. So how can our schools be more around our coexisting, our learning to listen to one another, to learn from and with one another, and have that work? And I loved having Kathy on tonight. What a great, I mean, anytime a teacher can share their story with us, but also teach us, right? We're learners leading learners. We're always all learners. Educators talking education,
right?
Learners leading learners. Listener out there, we love that you tune in, that you listen, and that you participate as well. So Tim, it's a pretty good Monday if you're asking me. We're off to a banner start this week.
Yeah, we are. And you know what, too? Getting ready. Yeah, tomorrow, you know, Rethinking Schools special editor, executive editor.
Yep.
And then Wednesday,
top
Johnny.
Wednesday, we're going to be having we're going to have one of our shows. You can participate at the show live with, you know, hosted at the Minocqua Brewing Company, you know, who sponsors Busted Pencils, and that you can check out not only Minocqua Brewing Company in person, be there Wednesday, you know, have a brew with the crew and talk to Tim and Johnny. We're going to be on with you. You can just participate by being there, right? So our buddy Kirk there will be like the MC, and you can come through and participate in that show. Hey, little reminder, listener, stay on for my man Pete Schwaba, because they're going to do a Scotty Summer at the top of the hour. So you got to stay on that business. Be a winner of a Scotty Summer. Listen to Pete Schwaba's show coming up next and catch that keyword to text in, you know, in the 7 p.m. hour.
Man, yeah, great gifts, great giveaways, and download that Civic Media app while you're out there too. You know, that makes things easy when you have the Civic Media app. It's Tim and Johnny, Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk on a Monday. Yeah, we're in here, 855-752-4842, coming up really close. Not going to have a whole lot of time for anybody else, but just get that number out there. You can give us a call tomorrow for the show. Rethinking Schools, a landmark out of Milwaukee. Yeah, we're going to be talking Rethinking Schools tomorrow. The editor, Sierra Caller Jones, is going to be on. And man, we have got a great show planned. So Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. See y'all tomorrow.
Yeah, yep.
Mad Radio 92.7 FM, home of the John and Gordy Show.
Crude and Dom.
The jury is out in the Hunter Biden trial as the weaponized Department of Justice seeks retribution against Joe Biden's son. Doesn't make sense. I know. Devil's advocates.
The Devil's Advocates. Weekdays 3 to 6.
Whether you're a do-it-yourselfer or professional technician, Auto Value is committed to providing the parts you need and the service you deserve. Auto Value Parts Store. We've got the parts. We've got the smarts. Your school can earn up to $10,000 this year. Just save the UPCs from the Country Hearth products your family already enjoys. Learn more at loavesforlearning.com. That's loavesforlearning.com.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. You're listening to Mad Radio.
WMDX 1580 AM Columbus. W224 EG Madison.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.